This morning, we're going to have almost our first message. Last week, we had the introduction to our new series, Sufficient. And this morning, I'm going to move this a little closer since no one decided to sit in the front row. We'll move it a little closer so you can hear me back there. But this morning, we're going to have our second message, or I guess almost like the first message. Last week was an introduction to Sufficient, Jesus Christ being sufficient for the believer. And this morning, we'll kind of set the tone for the rest of the series. You'll see how the series will go. Because what we're going to do is each week look at a different, I guess you say, different way or different aspect in how Jesus Christ is sufficient for believers, for us. And this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to be looking. But I believe that Jesus is sufficient, that He is all that is required for believers. You know, as far as buildings, you know, today we're having some work done in our building. This week there'll be some work done on our building. But to have a stable building, you must have a strong foundation. You have to. And foundations vary depending upon the building. You know, the size of the building, the shape of the building. You know, skyscrapers have, for the most part, deeper foundations compared to homes or smaller buildings. There's a lot more that has to be stable when it comes to a skyscraper. Also, buildings vary. The foundation of a building will vary depending upon the location. You have a building in the mountains, or you may have a building on the prairies, or maybe a building next to some water, a lake or an ocean. The foundation will vary depending on where that building is being built. You know, some foundations are shallow because of the terrain. They begin to dig down and they run into rock and they can't go any further and they have to put the foundation there and they have to work around that. You see, there are building codes when it comes to foundations, and some here this morning may work with those or deal with those from time to time. There are building codes depending on the city you live in or the state where you reside, but for the most part they differ depending upon the building and the site. And those codes will usually be built, into consideration when the buildings are being built. Now, I'm going to end right there as far as buildings because I'm not an engineer and definitely not an architect. So that's about my knowledge of foundations. But let's say, I'm going to give you an example. Let's say an industrious young person, and by the way, our nation is filled with young people like this. Let's say an industrious young person designs a foundation that fits any building in any location. We'll call it a one-size-fits-all foundation. Now that's unlikely, I'll give you that, it's unlikely. I don't want to say it's impossible, and here's the reason why I don't want to say it's impossible. Look around you. You know, if we would go back maybe 100 years, 150 years, you know, many of the things that we enjoy today, I imagine most people would have looked and said, that's impossible. Phones that you can text with, flat screen TVs, computers, the internet. I mean, even 50 years ago, some of the things that we enjoy now, some would look and say, that's impossible. So I don't like to say something's impossible. Now, it's unlikely. Now, it's unlikely someone will ever invent a foundation that's a one-size-fits-all, but I want to be careful of saying it's impossible. Now, if someone did invent this, I can guarantee a couple of things. First, they would be greatly respected. They'd be greatly respected amongst the engineering world, amongst the architectures, amongst builders. They would be greatly respected for inventing a one-size-fits-all foundation for any building, anywhere. And I'm also sure that they would be situated well financially. They'd be well compensated for that invention. I can guarantee that as well. Why would this happen? Because they would provide a foundation that is sufficient for all. That's why that's why it would be a blessing. You could take any building and throw it on a foundation, just set it in place and put it there. One size fits all. You wouldn't have to work around the terrain. You wouldn't have to worry about the size. You just put it there and it takes care of the rest. Basically, it would be sufficient. That's what it would come down to. Now, this morning, that's the introduction to Jesus Christ being our foundation. You do realize that Jesus Christ, I don't want to belittle His work. I don't want to say He's one size fits all, so to speak. But He's sufficient for your life. Just as He's sufficient for the person sitting next to you, or the person the other side of the world that trusts in Him as their Savior. He's sufficient for everyone, no matter what your background is, no matter what you've done in the past or what you haven't done. It doesn't matter. You trust in Christ, and He is sufficient from that point on as far as your life. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Notice verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "Therefore, other foundation can no man lay than it that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's have a word of prayer this morning before we continue. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those that have come out for this service. I pray that you'll bless us today from your word. Encourage us. Lord, I pray you'll encourage us from this passage that we're looking at. Help us not only to see the teachings that is there, but also to apply the teaching that we find. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning on foundations and Jesus Christ being our foundation. The first one is, foundations are required for buildings. Now, I know you can build a building without a foundation, but that building will not stand long. It'll be washed away in a storm. The ground may change and it'll crumble. You see, a building without a foundation basically is doomed to failure. It's doomed to being come down, to falling down or being washed away. So without a foundation, really there is no building eventually. And the reason being is the uncertainties. You think about all the uncertainties when it comes to building. You know, the ground settles or the ground moves. How about the weather? Winds, tornadoes, hurricanes. I mean, weather changes all those. Now, I know sometimes buildings are wiped away even with those. But buildings with strong foundations, in general, have a better chance to withstand those trials and those troubles that come. Now, life for believers is similar. Now, this is where I want to make the comparison this morning. Life is filled with change. Let me ask you a few questions. How many of you knew you would be right here this morning, say 15, 20 years ago? Maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You didn't know. How many of you knew where you would be in your career at this point? Now, some of you may have thought, well, I'll be this direction, but I'm sure as you have lived, there have been changes that have come into your life. Things that you didn't plan on or different directions that you didn't see coming. And you've went different ways as the Lord may have led or as things have come into your life. You see, life basically is uncertain. You know, this morning, up until yesterday, I don't even think we planned on meeting in here. We don't know what's going to happen later today. We don't even know what's going to happen over the next few minutes. Now, we can, I guess you say, assume, or we can believe we know what's going to happen, but really, life is uncertain. I read where one person said, life is uncertain at best and chaotic at worst. You know, when you think about life in general, there are so many changes. You know, right now, there is very little. If we really examine our life, I think we have to conclude there is very little that we actually control. Now, we control our personal decisions, and we control how we react to trials and disappointments, or to blessings even. We control those things. But let me give you some thoughts on this. We have no control over the weather. We don't know. We may have an idea that it's going to be hot out tomorrow, or it's going to be cloudy out, whatever the forecast is, but we have no control over that. This past week, we didn't know how cold it was going to get. We had no control over that. There are many things within the weather we just can't control. We just deal with them as they come, and we live life according to those situations. Also, we have no control over the world's economy. Even those that are in control of the world's economy, or they tell you they're in control, have no control over the world's economy. I read where one economist said this. He said, guess what? If people just stopped spending, that would just throw everything into a loop. He said, even those that believe they're in control are not in control. You know, if you own a business, even if you own the business, you still rely upon people, customers, to make decisions, either to purchase from you or to use you as their business. So really, when you think about it, there's a lot we don't control. We really react in life. That's how we live. And I'm not saying that to be negative, but that's how we live. We have to react when trials come, blessings come, or decisions need to be made. We react. Now, we can plan. We should plan with Lord willing. We should say, Lord willing, we'll do this. Lord willing, we'll do that. That's how we are this week. Lord willing, We'll get back in our auditorium here soon. Lord willing, things will be taken care of, and Lord willing, all this will work out. But you know, planning really is faith. It's built upon faith and hope. That you have faith that you're going to be able to do this tomorrow, or you hope you'll be able to do that. But really, it's uncertain, and we have to live moment by moment. I'm going to tell you, that's why we need a strong foundation in life. You know, if you are going through life without a strong spiritual foundation, without Jesus Christ, you get a trial in your life. Now, there may be some trials that you may get through on your own, but you get a real test. And that's when times can become discouraging because there's no strong foundation in your life. You know, there are two truths I'll give to you from life. The first one is you're going to face difficult times. Hope I didn't burst anyone's bubble this morning. Especially young people. I know young people are filled with hope, and that's good. I don't like to burst bubbles, but everyone is going to face difficult times. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some tests. And you know, sometimes there are going to be tests that'll just shake you to your core. I guarantee that. There are going to be some tests that'll just shake your faith, that are going to test your faith. There are going to be some trials that are just going to appear that you're just going to come to a standstill. That's just part of life. That's going to happen. Here's the second truth I'll give to you. Jesus Christ is certain. He's a certainty we can trust on in a world of uncertainties. Hebrews chapter 13. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're just going to go over to Hebrews 13 and I'm going to read a verse to you. Hebrews chapter 13. And it says this, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know what that means? He does not change. He will never change. You know, Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday. He's the same today as He was the day you were born. He's the same today as He was the day that you were saved. He's the same today as He will be tomorrow. He won't change. He is the same. You see, we can count on Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means His teachings will remain the same. If He doesn't change, His teachings won't change either. You can read your Bible, and I encourage you to do so. Study it out. Read the Bible. You can read the Gospels. You can find His teachings there. And you can be sure that those teachings will remain the same because He remains the same. He doesn't change. You know, the only reason someone changes is because they either change for the better or they change for the worse. And I'm sure some of you may know people on both sides. They've changed for the better. They have excelled or they have become better people or they've changed for the worse. And you look and say, well, what happened? You made some bad decisions. Jesus Christ doesn't change simply because He cannot get any better. He's perfect. And obviously, He's not going to get any worse. He never sins. So He remains the same. So His teachings will never change. You know, the promises you find in the Bible, you can count on. The promise of salvation, for those that put their faith in Him, you can count on that. The promise of peace that is provided through Jesus Christ, you can count on that. The promise of fulfilling your needs, you can count on that. And you know, the list goes on and on of all the promises that we find in the Scriptures that we can count on simply because Jesus Christ does not change. He remains the same. And those promises you can hold on to. You see, that's why we need a strong foundation, because we live in a world that changes. And it's a blessing to have a Savior who remains the same. No matter what trial you're going through, Jesus Christ will be there for you. As it says in Hebrews, He'll never leave nor forsake. You know, you can go to Him in prayer at any time, day or night. You can seek Him out with any trouble that you face because He'll be there. You know, most importantly, and I want to point this out too, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Most importantly, Jesus Christ will continue to stand before God on your behalf. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know the Bible tells us here? There's a lot of teaching in this just this one verse. First, He says He's able to save them to the uttermost. Jesus, if Jesus has saved your soul this morning, He has saved you out of sin completely. He saved you to the uttermost, completely taken away, but also He saved you forever. I tell you what, if He saved you, He's not going to lose you. You belong to Him now. And He's able to save you to the uttermost simply because, notice here, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, Jesus Christ, this morning, the Bible teaches that He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, He's not sitting up there lounging around. The Bible makes it clear He's there interceding on our behalf. And He's going to be there forever. on into eternity. You know what that tells us? That tells us that Jesus Christ is not only a sure foundation today, but tomorrow, but also as you enter into eternity. You can count on Jesus Christ. I read an account, a man by the name of Edgar Harrell. He was on the USS Indianapolis when it was sunk at the end, towards the end of World War II. He was a born-again believer, had trusted in Christ as his Savior, and this young man went into the ocean and for 4 days basically lived in the water, in the ocean, without food, without any help. And of course, by that fourth day, he had gone through several bouts of being delirious a little bit and just struggles and trials. In his own personal account, he said at the very beginning, when he went in, he was certain in his heart that God would deliver him. He was certain, and he said that's what kept him going, and he kept praying throughout the entire time. He said as he got to that fourth day, he said as he was sitting on a little lifeboat trying to stay afloat, had been separated from the other men, didn't know where any of them were there or if any were even alive. He said he got to the point in his heart where he began to realize that God may not deliver him from that trial, but that God may deliver him from that world of sin. You see, he was a believer. And all of a sudden, he began to realize that God may have had a different plan for him, but guess what? God was not forsaking him. God was just going to deliver him from a different trial. You see, this morning, when you have a sure foundation, you can trust in that foundation. When you're saved, when Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you know God the Father, then you can put your faith in Him. Now, of course, Edgar Harrell lived through that. He was rescued. But I think he had put his faith in God to the point where he recognized God was not going to forsake him, that he could count on God. This morning, you can count on God as well. Here's my second thought. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we made it clear, I believe, we need Jesus Christ in our life. He's a foundation. And by the way, there's only one foundation for a building. You go to these buildings, they don't build two, three, four, and say, we're going to transfer them over and move. There's one foundation. That's all that's required. This morning, there's only one foundation for the believer. We don't need other foundations. We don't need other teachings. We have Jesus Christ. We have His teachings. We just need to build upon the foundation that God has given to us. So we have one foundation. Anyway, notice what it goes on to say. Verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." This morning, here's my second thought. Foundations are made to be built upon. Foundations are made to be built upon. You know, it's an oddity to find a foundation without a building. If you drive down the road or drive down the street and you look over and you see a foundation without a building, usually you'll conclude one of two things. The first one is that it's just been laid and they're getting ready to build upon it. The second one is something's wrong. Maybe the funding fell out and they can't build that building and something happened. Foundations are there to be built upon. You know, Jesus Christ is our foundation. And in this passage, we find the challenge to build upon that foundation. And here, we find basically a difference in building. We're given two groups, so to speak. We have the one group, which is wood, hay, stubble, things that will burn up in fire. Then that second group is gold, silver, and precious stones. Basically, as we'll explain here in a minute, items that will not burn up in the fire, items that will make it through that fire. You know what the Bible tells us here? That there are different ways to build upon that foundation. You know, once you're saved, that foundation is there. Jesus Christ is part of your life. What happens next, I believe, really falls upon the believer. It falls upon you. How you build upon that foundation, your relationship with Jesus Christ, what you seek after, what you desire. You see, God has given us freedoms as believers. He's given us freedoms to make some decisions and to make some choices. This morning, you chose to be here. Now, I know God is in complete control, but He's allowed you to make some decisions. You chose to be here. You chose to come and sing praises unto God and to read His Word. This week, you'll have many decisions to make, and God will allow you to make those decisions. But here, we find two groups, basically. And as we read there, it says that they'll be tested by fire, and then they'll be revealed. And notice the Bible says, at the end of verse 13, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work will be made manifest. I remember growing up, I enjoyed playing sports. I try out for different teams. Make the team, sometimes I wouldn't make the team. It depended on the coach and on the team, but you know, they would post. You know, they'd say, well, Friday will be the posting of who makes the team and what team you make. You make varsity, junior varsity, whatever. And whoever would go try out, you know, that Friday, everyone would be waiting and looking to see if they made the team or if they didn't make the team and so forth. And, you know, some teams still do that. You know, that's when it's made manifest. That's when it's known if they made the team. You know, what's going to happen someday, according to this passage, is as believers, we're going to stand before God and our works or our life will be tested. And it'll be known. It'll be made manifest. Here's some thoughts on this. First, it'll be made known as far as it'll be seen. You know, we can hide a lot on earth. There's a lot of things people can hide. We can do things in secret. We can do things quietly. But in heaven, God is going to test those in the open. Now, I don't know if He's going to test those in front of everybody else. I've often wondered that. It doesn't go into a lot of detail, so we're left to our imagination. Maybe that's best. But He may test that in front of other believers, and we get to watch and observe that. Also, our motives will be understood on that day. You know, I can see your actions. I don't know your motive. You can even look at the person sitting next to you. Even if they are your husband or your wife or your children, you can look at them and you may know their conduct or their actions, but you cannot tell their motive. People can be deceptive. They can tell you one thing and they can mean another. Or they can tell you exactly what they're doing and it comes out that's exactly what they meant. You see, on that day, our motives, I think, will be known as well. Everything will be made manifest, and we will see what our works, I guess you say, produce. Now, here's some thoughts on this. It's getting warm in here, so I'm going to hurry up. I didn't do that on purpose to get any conviction going. It's just getting warmed up. At least maybe I'm getting warmed up. I don't know. Anyway, here's what we have. That which withstands the fire will be worthy of reward. In other words, that what makes it through is what God is going to consider. Now, I want to point one thing out. Notice at the end of verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. This is not for salvation. We're not talking about standing before God as believers and then God testing your works and then God saying, you know what? You didn't do enough good works. I'm going to take that salvation away and you're gone. That's not what this is talking about. Your salvation is secure and that's going to be tested as well, but that'll pass the test because it's the work of Jesus Christ. It's not your work. That'll be tested as fire and that'll pass. And that's why that's pointed out there. That someone may bring all these works up there in their strength and their energy and they're going to be burned up and they still get into heaven because they're saved. And that may happen. You see, what we find is that which does not stand or withstand the test will be gone. You know, the sins of the believer are forgiven. This morning, if you're saved, you're forgiven. You're going to be accountable, I believe, not for your sin as far as salvation and so forth. You're going to be accountable with what you have been given. Now think about that. You've been given a new life. You know, the moment you were saved, you were given a new life from God. And with that new life came a multitude of blessings. You can now go to God the Father in prayer. The Holy Spirit now resides within you to give you power to live for God. Jesus Christ is there for you. You see, I don't think there's really any excuse for the believer as far as living for God. We have everything required. When we stand before God, we're going to give an account for our new life. What we did with that new life. How we lived. We're also going to give an account for our talents. Our gifts that God has given to us. Now, some of those talents are natural, perhaps. Maybe God has blessed some with just a natural gift, a natural ability. Some of those talents are earned. What I mean by that is some of you may have went on to school for a certain degree or you've learned and God has blessed you with the abilities. You see, this morning, I believe when we stand before God, we're going to find out if we use those for God's glory or if we just use them for ourselves or if we just hoarded them. We just didn't use them at all for anybody or for anything. God gave us these and we just held on to them. Or if we use them for God and for His glory. Also, how about our time? You realize that every second you live is a gift from God. How about our time? What do we do with our time? Is it used for God's glory? Did you give any time at all to God? And I'm not talking about coming down to the church 24/7. I'm talking about your prayer life, your Bible study, your personal testimony, your witnessing, your life. Did you give any time for God? Did you give any consideration to God? That's another test that'll be there. You know, our daily decisions and our daily actions determine our life. What you do every day basically determines your life. And that's what's going to be given account of, how you live for God. So I encourage you this morning, just live for God. Live by faith. Read your Bible. Pray. Give Him time. Be a testimony. When you read the Bible, apply the teachings that are found there. And I believe if you're faithful with that, then God will bless. Now, the final thought I'll give to you this morning on this is Jesus, and this really isn't found here. For time's sake, there's some we won't cover in this, but I want to give you a thought here. Jesus is a precious foundation, very precious, a valuable one. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 7, it says there, unto you, therefore, verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. This passage here, without getting into it too far, this passage is talking about Jesus Christ being the foundation or the cornerstone of the foundation. And in that passage there, He says to those that believe on Him, He is precious. Now you think about a precious metal today. Precious metals are greatly cared for. How about gold and silver and diamonds? We treasure those for the most part on earth. And if you have a lot of gold, you have a lot of silver, or you have a load of diamonds, you guard those. Some people have them, you know, in case or in safes with armed guards. They protect those precious metals because they're valuable. You know, Jesus Christ is valuable, is what the Bible tells us. And He, I think, really is invaluable. He's worth more than anything this world has to offer because He provides eternal life and He provides a joyful life right now. He provides what none of the world's treasures can offer. A life of peace and a life of contentment is what Jesus Christ provides. And the Bible tells us He welcomes all those that seek Him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, foundations today, for the most part, remain invisible. When a building is finished, you don't see the foundation. And now occasionally you may see it on the side. But for the most part, when you see a building, the foundation remains underneath. It's there for stability. It's there for support. But people don't decorate their foundations. They decorate the building that goes on top. That's what everyone sees. You know, you think about this morning. Jesus Christ as a foundation, really in your life, He's invisible. Is He not? I haven't seen Him. He's invisible, but He's there. Just like the foundation of a building is invisible, but it's there. For a believer, this morning, you may not see Jesus with your eyes, or nobody else may see Him with your eyes, but He's there. Matthew chapter 18 tells us that in verse 20, that He will remain with those that follow after Him. Matthew 28 verse 20 says that He was with them to the end of the world, that He'll be with us. You see, Jesus Christ is with us, even though we may not see Him with our physical eyes. He's alive, He's in heaven. And I think if we allow Him to live through us, then guess what? People can see Jesus in our life. Now that's where we begin to think of the foundation. He provides a life, and He can work through that life, and others can see Jesus in our life. They can see Jesus in the way we talk, in our actions, our conduct in general. They can begin to see Jesus through our life, is what the Bible teaches, because He'll begin to work through us. Now, they can't see Him physically, of course, but begin to see His influence upon us. And they'll begin to see His work in our life, and that produces the testimony that there is a Savior. You know, the greatest testimony, I think, of Jesus Christ that we find in this world today, now, I'll just say this, yes, the Bible is invaluable, and the Bible is perfect, and the Bible is accurate. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? I think one of the greatest testimonies we see of Jesus Christ in this world is a changed life. Someone comes to Jesus Christ. They were living in sin, living for themselves. They accept Christ as their Savior. They get a new life. And lo and behold, that life is changed. And there's a new life. They may go to the same job. They may wear the same clothes. They may drive that same car. But the life is different. And people will begin to notice that changed life. I'm going to tell you something. I know people today, and some of you may have this testimony, or you may know others as well. I know people today that were down and out in sin. All sorts of sin. You think of the sins that are out there. They were down and out in sin. Their life has been changed. And guess what? You would never imagine them living in that sin. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. There was a change that took place. A new life. A new desire. A new future. A new approach to life. You see, that's the greatest testimony, I think, to Jesus Christ in our world today is the new life. And this morning, if you're saved, that's your opportunity to share with your friends and your family and those you work with. You get to share the change that Jesus has produced in your life. Now, sometimes that change may be subtle. You know, not everybody is in a world of sin before they're saved. But that change may be subtle. Just maybe the way you act, the way you handle yourself when tested or tried, the way you respond to difficulties. All of a sudden, people say, man, you respond differently than other people. What gives? And you may say, well, I trust in Christ. I got a Savior who's going to work things out. I'm just putting my faith in Him. You see, that change will provide a testimony. See, the building, when you think of buildings and a foundation, the foundation is often not seen, but the building provides evidence that there's a foundation under there. And when the winds come and that building stands and continues to stand, and by the way, they have built buildings now and foundations that can withstand great storms. Now, if they didn't have that foundation, that building would have been gone. This morning, as believers, you get an opportunity, while you're being tested or tried, to provide that testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, there may be a test in your life that others may look and say, you know what, if I went through that test, I would just fall apart. How are you getting through that? And that's when you can look and say, it's Jesus Christ. It's my Savior. It's my foundation. He is everything to me. And you may be able to lead people to Christ through that testimony. Or encourage them, if they're already saved, to put their faith in Christ and continue to build upon their foundation. You know, this morning, Jesus is a precious foundation. And you know, foundations on earth, buildings, you know, foundations eventually erode. And buildings fall. I mean, that's just part of life. Nothing is, you know, contrary to popular opinion, we're not evolving. Everything goes the other direction. Science proves that. Everything eventually erodes. If you want proof of that, right out there, we just found this morning, and you know, in our concrete slab, there's a little crack. Things just start to erode. That's just part of life, and you deal with that. You know, here's the difference between an earthly foundation and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is permanent. He's not going to erode or go away. We've already talked a little bit about this, about Him being unchangeable, but also being everlasting. So I'm not going to go into it too much. But you know, He will be with you to the end. And you say, well, where's the end? The end on earth. He'll be with you to that end. How about the end of eternity? There is no end. You do realize Jesus is a foundation that will remain forever, that you can hold on to. And He's strong, and you can build a life upon Him. I want to encourage you to do that. You know, this morning, in closing, the building must be joined to the foundation if it's going to be built. That's what happens. They begin to build on the foundation and they join them together. It becomes a union. You know, that's where, if you want a strong life, if you want a strong spiritual life, there has to begin with a union. That begins with salvation. That begins with trusting in Christ as your Savior. There has to be a union there between you and God and you and Jesus Christ. And that begins with trusting in Christ as your Savior. I ask you this question. Is Jesus your foundation? Is He your foundation in life? He can be. By faith, receive Jesus Christ into your heart, and He will be your foundation. You know, sometimes as believers, what often happens is we have the strong foundation. We just forget to build upon it. It's there. We just have neglected the building there. We've just kind of done our own thing. And I imagine, spiritually speaking, there are probably some Christians who, you know, the Lord may look upon them. Now, we can't. The Lord may look upon the heart and He says, you know, there's a foundation. There's just no building there. Let's not be that way before God. Let's have a strong spiritual life. Let's let the Holy Spirit work in our life to produce fruit unto the Lord. And let's be a testimony of God. And let's build upon the foundation which we have. Set your affection on Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Trust Him in all areas of your life. How about seek to glorify Him as you live here on earth? Begin to build upon that foundation. and allow God to bless you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. I thank you for the blessings which you have provided. Lord, as we close this message out, I pray that you'll encourage us from your word. I pray over the next week that we will consider what we have seen here this morning. And also, Lord, I pray that we'll apply the teachings that we've found. Please help each one of us to, if we are saved, to go ahead and to live for you. And I pray that you'll bless us. And if there's anyone here that's unsure of their salvation, I pray they get that settled.